college athletics in general. But hey, Tom, we were talking about, and first off, good morning, Tom. How you doing?
Well, let me tell you something, brother. What you gonna do when Hodgemania runs wild on you, dude?
I'm talking to the Rolex wearing, kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, sons of guns on National Sports Radio. Good morning, men. It's a great day to be alive here in Nashville.
Woo!
All right, go ahead, Greg.
You guys ain't right. Hey, Ben Simmons, between his ears, but we were just going over his numbers. 4 years, and didn't play that first year because of his foot injury, but he is a 16-8-7-assist guy and can be that number two guy to an
NBA. Good shooting percentage, too.
Yeah, 6'11", guard. How do you you're the one, I'll let you ask the question from him as a coaching perspective. Yeah. What you asked.
Well, it's just, coach, you know, when you saw the way Doc handled it Sunday night after the game, obviously the emotions are running high. He gets asked, hey, you know, can you still win with Ben Simmons? He's like, I don't know. And then he came back yesterday, had time to think about it, slept on it, obviously, gave a better answer saying, hey, we still believe in this guy, but we have to work with him this offseason. As a coach, how would you handle, or how do you think Doc Rivers should handle this Ben Simmons situation? Because I'm of the opinion that they don't need to give up on this guy just yet. You know, Jeff in the Borough says he's a bum, get rid of him. And, you know, of course, that's Jeff in the Borough. But just from a coaching perspective, what do you make of the Ben Simmons situation? And how would you, if you were Doc, handle this?
Yeah, it's a great question. And certainly got the basketball world abuzz because we've all been there. As coaches, we've all been there. The playoffs, guys, you find out who are the heroes and who are the hiders. And that either one of those scenarios can get you beat. And in this situation, in the last four games, or in the last three games, games 5, 6, and 7, Ben Simmons did not attempt a field goal in the fourth quarter. So clearly, like you said, Greg, there's an issue there mentally. There's a mental block with Ben Simmons. You know, he's a 16-8-8 guy in the regular season, but in a seven-game series, when you can game plan and really really affect singularly some defensive coverages, those things get exposed. So if I'm Doc Rivers, we've all been there. The microphone gets shoved in front of your face. You just got eliminated. You're the number one seed. Probably your best chance to win an NBA championship. And everybody knows why you're going home is because your number two option, your all-star, a three-time all-star, one-time NBA all-pro, just quite honestly didn't deliver for you in the clutch. So I can understand where Doc was coming from there as a coach. The question posed to him was, can Ben Simmons be a point guard on a championship team? If to read between the lines, what Doc was saying was, I don't know if he's a point guard or not. I don't know if Ben Simmons can dominate the ball with it in his hands and us be effective. Now, you saw a lot of backpedaling off of that yesterday when the questions really started to mount, but I wish Doc might have gone into a little more position-specific talk right there with Simmons. I think that might have taken a little bit of heat off of the situation instead of making it maybe more than it already is.
I just think if you're the Sixers, if you're Doc Rivers or whatever, if you decide, all right, we're going forward with Ben Simmons, you got to tell that guy, number one, go see a sports psychologist. Number two, every day during the offseason, I want you in the gym shooting jump shots. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And this isn't a new debate. You know, when he came out of LSU, it wasn't like he was a great shooter and he's just gotten into a slump. This has been his game. And for whatever reason, you know, he was a 60%, 61% free throw shooter in the regular season, which is not great by any stretch. I mean, you're in Shaq territory there. But when you get into a playoff series, and for the playoffs, you shoot 34%. It's just unacceptable. So clearly, it's not mechanics. There's something there, to your point, John, of the sports psychologist might be able to intervene. Now, according to Doc Rivers and everything that you saw yesterday, Simmons is well on board of getting this fixed and wanting to be right, wanting to be part of the solution in Philadelphia, wanting to be part of, quote-unquote, the process, as they've dubbed it. But their window is not closing, but they've got a premier superstar in Joel Embiid. They've got Simmons. They've got some other really nice pieces there. You would hate to see this type of a roster squandered just because of some sort of mental block that he's got of going to the free throw line 15 feet away, unguarded in the basket, and not being able to come through.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Coach Tom Hodges. He's talking to us on the F&M Bank phone line. Which was the bigger surprise? First off, I want to back it up, because how many times have you seen 25 or thereabout points blown this many times? Hawks came back twice against the Sixers. The other night, Clippers, the Jazz were on their way. Mm-hmm. So two number one seeds can't make big leads hold up. And I know the great equalizer is the three-pointer and the shot clock, but I don't know that I can remember this many big blown leads in these kind of situations.
Yeah, this situation and these situations have really reared their head in this 2021 playoff season. Guys, the last time we spoke, the Milwaukee Bucks were left for dead after two just pulseless performances against the Brooklyn Nets. But, you know, Brooklyn gets beat up and banged up. And I do think if Kyrie and Harden had been at 100%, maybe it's a little bit different, but kudos to the Bucks for coming back and in that series after being left for dead down 0-2. These Hawks just will not go away. Unbelievable. Back-to-back games, down 18, down 24, 25 points. And to score, Greg and I were talking about it over the weekend, to score almost 81 points, over 80 points, in a quarter and a half of basketball in the playoffs, in elimination territory games, unbelievable. These Hawks are playing with some moxie that is refreshing and kind of coming on the scene when, you know, they had a coaching change mid-year, and Nate McMillan, kudos to Nate McMillan, because since he took over, he has re-galvanized this franchise and got them in some place they hadn't been since Pistol Bob Pettit.
With the cool St. Louis Hawks, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Pretty cool territory for Trae Young and these Hawks to be in.
Out west, of course, Tom, you got the Suns playing without CP3 to at least start this series, but man, Devin Booker's come into his own, took that game over the other day, a 40-point triple-double. You don't see that. You know, you rarely see that in a regular season, let alone the playoffs. I mean, I think Phoenix, if they win tonight, they're sitting pretty, because eventually they're probably going to get Chris Paul back. If they're up in the series and he comes back, I think it's going to be really tough for the Clippers to bounce back and win this series.
Yeah, I agree with you totally right there, John. If I was handicapping the four teams left, just the eye test alone, the Phoenix Suns passed the eye test for me. With the Clippers playing small without Kawhi Leonard, they've gone to a small lineup, and the Suns passed that test glowingly. Maybe the star of the playoffs, the underrated star of the playoffs, is former number one pick DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah,
for the Phoenix Suns. I mean, this guy's been unbelievable. He completely neutralized the NBA MVP, the Joker, out in Denver in a four-game sweep. And you saw in that first game the value of rest. And the value of rest in these playoffs, arrested Phoenix team coming off the sweep. Clippers had to go to seven. Just a really, really interesting matchup. But I do like these Suns. Devin Booker is playing the best basketball of all anybody in the playoffs. Jay Crowder is just a shot maker extraordinaire. They had six in double figures, guys, and really looked the part. It's going to be interesting to see how Ty Lue and these Clippers respond tonight because, like you said, going down 0-2 in the Western Conference Finals without their preeminent point guard in CP3 for the Suns may serve as a ominous sign for this Clippers run, who are making their first ever Western Conference Final appearance.
Hawks and the Bucks. I understand the Hawks, but the time is now for the Bucks with Giannis, Middleton. Was it Drew Simpson? What's his name? The guard. I've drawn a blank, but it just seems like you stair step it each step of the way, and it just seems like this is their turn. They got the Nets out of the way. I like the Bucks in this series. I understand the Hawks and the way they're playing, but I just think this is the Bucks' turn. Home field, home court advantage. I'm taking the Bucks in that series.
And, Coach, if I could just add to it real quick, just the fact that, you know, for a guy like Giannis, we all know what the standards are now for superstar NBA players. You have to, at minimum, get to the NBA Finals. But, you know, ultimately, you have to win probably multiple championships. I mean, this is a great opportunity for Giannis, not just the Bucks, but for Giannis individually to prove that, hey, I belong on that upper echelon of NBA superstars right now.
Yeah, Drew Holiday is who I was trying to...
Yeah, Drew Holiday.
There's no doubt about it, guys. This is going to be a fascinating series, and I'll tell you why. Milwaukee, since Mike Budenholzer has gotten to Milwaukee, they've utilized the drop coverage in middle pick and rolls. So it'll just be a series of pick and rolls for Trae Young and Clint Capella in the middle of the floor. Now, what the Bucks do, and as a coach, I can't wait for this series to get going. So basically, what the Bucks have always done is they'll drop Giannis, they'll drop Chris Middleton back into the middle of the paint and let Trae Young, Clint Capella play basically two-on-one with whoever is draws that matchup. It forces Trae Young into a floater and or lob game because Capella is not really a pick-and-pop type post player for them. It's going to be really interesting to see this chess match unfold because Trae Young has been out of his mind, has played tremendous basketball. And when he wasn't at his best in game 7 against the 76ers, man, their roster really stepped up. I think maybe getting Gallinari back to full capacity might be what determines this series for the Hawks. Because I do think Milwaukee is a little bit deeper. I think they have the better roster. They're a little more dynamic. Since Nate McMillan got to the Hawks, he has slowed them way down from the style that they were playing. And that benefits the Bucks more than the Hawks in this series because Budenholzer really likes to get in that grind out type of game, and then unleash Giannis in the open floor once they control the glass. So really interesting series. This is really a make or break type of a series for these Bucks because they've been knocking at the door so long. The Hawks are playing on house money. Nobody thought they would even make the playoffs, much less be in the Eastern Conference Finals knocking on the door. So excited to watch this unfold. There's going to be some great matchups. I predict both that this series could go 7 and could be really entertaining 7 games.
Tom, we're up against the break, so you're off the hook with the Supreme Court ruling yesterday, okay?
Doesn't hurt my feelings.
Break it down.
For you guys to talk about.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, man. Have a great one.
All right. At Coach Tom Hodges. Knows the NBA, man. So who do you like? I think the Bucks.
I think it's going to be Suns, Bucks. And I would